At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number three live right here on this Wednesday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is DRS. That's Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. In this third and final hour, we will look forward to our four divisional round games in what might be the best weekend of football each and every year. Why would I say that when it's not a completely full slate, despite having doubleheaders in standalone games on both Saturday and Sunday? Because these are the best teams still remaining in the National Football League. This is the cream of the crop. This is the top of the top, contending for spots in conference championship games, one win away then from a Super Bowl bid. That's why it is so good. Meaningful football, DRS, between the best, with two games on each Saturday and Sunday.
Yes, and we also have some different differentiating lines, right? On Sunday, you have the close to touchdown with the Philadelphia Eagles game. You have the 1.5 there, so it tends to be a little bit closer. Saturday's game's over a touchdown. Home team Kansas City, home team Detroit. So we're hoping we might see one of those upsets, or at least to keep those games close. But the NFL usually does things right. You always put the sacrificial lamb, the Texans, who everybody wants out of the playoffs because they're usually a boring type of team, which I'm not saying they are, but that's the way the NFL views them. And then goes, well, what are we going to do? Put the, you know, Baltimore and Buffalo first game of the, you know, 4:30 game Saturday. Early. No. You save the best for last, which is the way you're supposed to do it. Sunday's action should be so much fun between the Rams and the Eagles, and then just Buffalo and, you know, Baltimore lining up as you wind down your weekend. That's the game that we all want to see.
Listen, we have a couple of lopsided affairs expected in our first three games of the weekend, as DRS alluded, north of a touchdown in both of our games on Saturday at the home of the one seeds in either conference. Even Philly back to near a touchdown favorite, laying 6.5 against the LA Rams in our first game of two on Sunday afternoon. But the final one of the weekend, and I don't think every game is going to be a blowout like we saw for a majority of the wild card round, but our final game of divisional weekend is going to be incredible. A marquee matchup with narratives, storylines, and two really good football teams squaring off in Western New York. Throughout this third hour, we're going to ask at least one big question for all four of our divisional round matchups, if not a follow-up question as well. And DRS, that starts in Buffalo. It's the Bills and the Ravens. But before we ask a question, we had to hear from the public. Who's going to win this game? We find out now in Fade the Public. In DRS, we don't really need to ask who's going to cover, who's going to pull off the upset, what are we going to stay within a margin. It's basically a pick 'em on Sunday evening in Orchard Park. The Bills and the Ravens, where Baltimore now a minus 118 money line favorite, less than 20 cents of distinction between that price on the flock and the even money plus 100 number on the Buffalo Bills. So we asked the public at Sports Grid on Twitter who will win the AFC divisional round game between the Bills and the Ravens. Interesting results. More than 55% of the public backing Buffalo, despite the market working to the Ravens. And of course, the flock being a road favorite in Western New York on Sunday. DRS, which team got your vote in the Fade the Public poll?
looks like I will be fading the public as I do like the Baltimore Ravens on the road to come away with this victory. And I do agree with the -1.5 now shifting over to the from the Buffalo Bills over to the Baltimore Ravens. This game also, understand this. It's funny that you say, like, Zay Flowers, we don't know if he's going to play. Typically, you'd say, like, oh, man, that really hurts your team. Your number one wide receiver's down. Good luck winning that football game. As crazy as it sounds, I think it actually helps the Baltimore Ravens. You saw the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Most teams would love their number one wide receiver because that would be a linchpin to their offense, and Zay Flowers has been very good. But I've said this as a tale of time since last year's AFC Championship game. If you just take a snapshot of the way the Ravens are winning football games late in the season and include it against the Pittsburgh Steelers, the centerpiece of your offense is Lamar Jackson running the football and also Derrick Henry running the football, spliced in with an MVP quarterback able to make those passes and complete at a high efficiency rate, which means no turnovers through interceptions and multiple touchdown passes. They've done this wonderfully. I hope that game plan doesn't change going on the road against the Buffalo Bills. And also understand this, maybe if you're playing in an environment, Ben, 72 degrees, perfect temperatures, air it out. It's going to be 15 degrees at kickoff with temperatures dropping possibly below 10 degrees at the end of that game. Now, the good part about it is winds aren't going to be too bad. 7 to 8 miles an hour, that's perfectly fine. Won't have any impact into the game. No precipitation here and a fast turf. So maybe it lends itself to an over, but I'm actually playing more to an under here. But when I look at those conditions with a running game that Baltimore has, a good defense, which they have, and a running game does travel on the road, it does. I just think the Baltimore Ravens are the better team. Rooting interest, probably more fun for me. Maybe the Buffalo Bills advancing. Always been a fan of Josh Allen, and I like the Bills as a team. But it's one of those games where you really can't lose as a spectator. One team's going to move on. One team's season's going to end. I'm just going towards the Ravens, so I'll fade the public in this poll.
I mean, look what the odds are anticipating. A 1.5 spread, 18 cents of difference on the money line, and a total north of 50 at 51 and a hook. If the odds track, we are going to get a game that is 27-24, perhaps, coming down to the closing minute of regulation. Everything you could dream of and potentially more in a divisional round matchup. And that's just the game flow, DRS, and maybe the key matchups, as you alluded to right there. There is also the storyline and narrative, specifically this season, between two quarterbacks that right now seem to be jousting for who is going to be the NFL MVP winner. Lamar Jackson looking for a second consecutive, third in his 6 years as a starting quarterback with the flock, and that AP first team All-Pro selection at the quarterback position in front of Josh Allen, who through most of the year, especially in the stretch run, was a minus money odds on favorite to win the NFL MVP hardware. So we have two fan bases that have been taking shots against the other's quarterback, now squaring off for a spot in the AFC Championship game on Sunday evening. And we also have, outside of this season, Donnie, the narrative between these two quarterbacks. Josh Allen has only played in one AFC Championship game, never a Super Bowl. That was back in 2020. The Bills have been bounced from the division around each of the past three seasons. Lamar Jackson, a 3-4 playoff record, two AFC Championship game appearances, or maybe just the one last year against Kansas City, but has faltered in the biggest stages. So DRS, now it's time for our one big question for this game. Question one, will the quarterback who plays better on Sunday night definitely win the game?
The quarterback who plays better will definitely win the game. You know what? I'm going to take you up on that and say yes, because I think this game is so contentious that I just don't feel like one of the quarterbacks can go 10 of 21 for a buck 31, one touchdown, no interceptions, right? And have a meaningless game on the ground, which means two of these guys, meaningless for them, we got 30 yards or less. Like, the quarterback needs to take control in this game of who's going to rush more and who's going to score touchdowns and also be more legitimately, you know, pocket presence, like, on point. So, yes, I think it is that simple. And both of these guys, I'm expecting to play good. But if one plays better than the other one, which means that you can just look at the statistics and say, yes, I do believe it comes. It's that razor sharp in this game that we believe it. And so I'm going to say yes there. The better quarterback in this game is going to win this football game.
And both guys were sensational in the opening round. Josh Allen, 272, two passing scores, 46 yards, utilizing his legs. You see the numbers there for Sunday night. Lamar Jackson did not have to throw nearly as much against the Steelers. Still was efficient in doing so, had two touchdown tosses, and, of course, still more than 80 yards on the ground. The first time these two teams played, way back in week number four, it was a Ravens game plan they will hope to replicate. More than 270 rushing yards,
nice.
And Derrick Henry had a buck 99. And Donnie, that might be why the question I asked, quarterback who plays better, has his team definitely win, not be the case. I would say this, if Buffalo is going to win, Josh Allen has another worldly performance. If Baltimore wins and Lamar is just efficient, but Derrick Henry is elite again, you could see a pathway to a Ravens victory. More of the division around next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue to build that excitement for what might be the best weekend of football all season long, basically every season in the National Football League. In DRS, that fourth and final in Western New York, the Bills and the Ravens separated by just 18 cents on the money line with a total of 51.5. Our final big question for this matchup in the AFC divisional round before getting to the first one of the weekend inside Arrowhead in the one seed Kansas City. Is this the most anticipated divisional round matchup you can remember?
It probably would be, yes, because, you know, the stakes that are at place for a divisional round game, it feels like it's a Super Bowl for them, right? It's the same way we talked about, Ben, what, week 18 in the NFL? We've never seen stakes so high as having the Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions, where the winner gets supremacy in the NFC, the loser has to go on the road. And also, we talked about the toll that would take for a loss and the Minnesota Vikings taking the loss and then getting blasted the next week here. The only difference in this is it's the playoffs, so the loser goes home. They don't get a chance to get blasted the next week. Here, but also you are going to have referendums, because think about this. You saw regular season action where the Baltimore Ravens absolutely dismantled the Bills. They were in a bad spot in that game, talking about the Buffalo Bills. But now if you say, let's just say at home, Josh Allen outduels Lamar Jackson, they win this game, and convincingly, meaning by a touchdown or more, and then at the end of the season, the MVP goes to Lamar Jackson. See what I mean? The stakes are so high, and also the public optics might even be higher, where we're saying, like, hey, how about the winner of this game should actually be the MVP, even though we vote on the MVP after week 18. This is one of the more anticipated games that I've looked forward to in the divisional round, yes, in a long time.
Yeah, me as well, DRS. I still might say the most anticipated divisional round game I can remember in recent memory in 2021 between the Chiefs and the Bills in a game that lived up to its billing. The overtime game, of course, where the coin toss was crucial and the Bills never got the football back. 13 seconds, all of that good stuff. One of the best football games I can remember watching with these two eyes. I'm hoping Sunday night in Western New York lives up to that same excitement. All right, DRS, more than likely, the winner of that game is going to head to Kansas City to once again trying to get past its playoff nemesis in the Chiefs. I say more than likely because KC is now an 8.5-point home favorite to kick off divisional round weekend against the Houston Texans. Total 41.5. It is the lowest over-under we have for the second round of the NFL postseason. The one big question, DRS, is not can the Texans keep this game within margin, but I think it kind of lends into what the question is. The question, off a bye week, after earning that number one overall seed and not having its starters play in the regular season finale. In fact, the last time we saw Patrick Mahomes in a meaningful football game was Christmas on December 25th. So that question, DRS, do you expect the Chiefs will be rusty come Saturday?
No shot. This is what Andy Reid does. Like, if we're just going back in time and saying, like, oh, yeah, Andy Reid's really bad off the bye. Andy Reid's maybe the single best coach off of the bye in the history that we've ever seen. And I saw it going way back in Philadelphia. We had a lot of first-round games in the divisional round after having either the first seed or the second seed and watching them win football games. No chance. This is probably going to be one of the more prepared and healthy teams coming into the playoffs with that extra break here. I expect dominance right off the bat. Now, does dominance mean they win the football game and move on? Probably. Does dominance mean winning by two touchdowns or more in the cold weather temperatures at Arrowhead, set to be around 20 degrees at kickoff here, which, by the way, seems balmy to what we saw from the first round game last year against the Miami Dolphins. No, absolutely not. No rust on Kansas City, but do we see the normal Kansas City? Open up with a touchdown drive to start, play some good defense, let the Houston Texans back into the game. Then maybe the Texans have a lead in the second half. And then Andy Reid goes, hey, Patrick, you know you have to score on this drive. Ah, forgot that the whole game. All right, let's go down and punch you in a touchdown, get out of here with a W.
In his entire coaching career, Andy Reid is now 30-3 straight up, coming off a bye when the other team does not have that open and available weekend, including our Super Bowl rematch this season. And it wasn't even entirely a bye. It was against the San Francisco 49ers, I believe, on what was the mini bye after playing on a short week the week prior. Or was it the bye? It was the bye. I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out right now. What? It was the bye, right? Yeah, because October 7th, bye week for Kansas City. And then, yeah, that matched up against the Niners. Regardless, the bye record for Andy Reid is sensational. Mm-hmm. And the Texans are not coming off a bye, although it felt like that in the second half against the Chargers, winning by 20. DRS, I think then the next question naturally is, can the Texans keep this game more competitive than the odds estimate? The Chiefs have been a touchdown favorite or greater five times this year. They are 0-5 against the spread. If we throw out the Week 18 matchup, when the Chiefs got beat by the Broncos 38-0 with all of their backups in there, even in the first 17 weeks, Donnie, in which they won 15 games, so 15 of 16 games, the average margin of victory for the Chiefs, just 6.1. That was eighth best at the end of the regular season around the NFL. So do you think there is a path for the Chiefs to win this game by double digits and cover as an 8.5-point favorite?
There is a path, but most people are probably not betting that path because of what the Chiefs have shown us here. The thing that we're missing from this year's team and last year's team is that Tyreek Hill essence where we'll go three plays, 82 yards in 44 seconds and completely blow you out of the building. It's more methodical from the Chiefs, and that's not a bad thing. They've won a lot of football games doing it that way. But understand this, cold weather temperatures, you ramp it up in the playoffs, you don't need style points, you just want to advance. And the one thing that you have with the Houston Texans is that's a really good defense that DeMeco Ryans has cooking over there on that side of the football. Yeah. And also, you're not looking at a young quarterback in C.J. Stroud. Hey, first road game. Now, he won two home playoff games this year and last year. Went on the road and got crunched last year against a very good Ravens team. Maybe he learned something from that heading into this. The colder temperatures, the good defense, and Joe Mixon at running back. I think they can keep this game. Put it this way. If I'm betting the side, which I probably won't be, I'm more likely to take the points than lay the points here. No doubt about that.
These two teams both played on Christmas. The Texans struggled against the Ravens, which meant they played each other on that short week Saturday back in week number 16. That game in Arrowhead, the Chiefs won 27-19, covering as a 3.5-point home favorite. That was the game, sadly, for the Texans. They lost Tank Dell for the year as well. Houston as an underdog, with C.J. Stroud as the starter, 11-7 against the spread, including last weekend in the opening round, 8 outright wins. I just think, Donnie, based on what we have seen out of this Chiefs team this year, and knowing the total is 41.5, I find it hard for KC to cover. I think they win the game comfortably. Keith Stewart joins us next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The PGA Tour early in this 2025 season, back on the mainland and out in Southern California, in the desert in La Quinta, and also an exciting and new time in golf with TGL now underway for a second consecutive week. And the big cat, Tiger Woods, even hitting golf balls into a simulator. So to get you set with everything that has been happening all around the golf world, Keith Stewart joins us here live on this Wednesday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Keith, as always, we appreciate the time and thanks for being here.
Hey, good morning, Ben. And I'm glad you started with a little bit of TGL. You know, last week I was down there in the simulator stadium, and I tell you, the mood was electric. I was good to see that the ratings, you know, more than a million people tuned in. And then Tiger this past week with guys like Kisner and Max Homa, they added a little bit of chatter to all of this. You know, they use the hammer a lot more, which is like a press for more betting. For me, you know, I think TGL 2 weeks in has been a home run, and I can't wait to get back down there next week.
Yeah, Keith, quickly on that before we get to this week on the PGA Tour, what has the reaction been to TGL in the golf space? Have people mostly felt, hey, it's just entertainment and something fun to do on a Tuesday night? Are others mad about the competition level? What has that overall sentiment been for the start of TGL?
Well, you know, it's a very interesting question because the audience is, you know, to go inside baseball, really diehard golfers are not what they're looking for. You know, they're looking for Topgolf consumers. They're looking for people on the periphery of the game that can maybe digest it in a different manner. And I think they're doing an excellent job of promoting it as such. You know, Tiger went on the first week and he said, this is not traditional golf. It's just golf. We're hitting golf shots. We're having fun. We're able to bet on it. And, you know, the technology has really worked 2 weeks in a row when it comes right down to it, because this is live television. And to make sure that we're tracking every shot and then we can validate that and then bet against it is an absolute home run. So inside golf, everyone is very, very happy to have something fun and fresh to talk about and watch, other than all of this drama that Donnie loves to bring up between LIV and the PGA Tour.
Oh, we got live questions coming up, Keith. Don't you worry about it. But from the indoors to outdoors, the American Express, don't leave home without it. I need you to explain the setup here, because I'm seeing three golf courses listed for one tournament. Keith, what gives here?
Well, Donnie, when we come back to the mainland, we're short on time, right? The sun is only up for so many hours. So out in California, we start this 3 week run of multi courses. This week, we have three different courses in play: La Quinta Country Club, the PGA West Stadium course, and the Nicholas Tournament course. The guys are going to play one round on each, and then the cut is not on Friday, it's on Saturday after three rounds. 54 holes. Average cut line the last 10 years or so is about 7 under par. This thing is an absolute scoring fest. So if you're looking for Keith's keys when it comes to the Amex, right, it's no limit on scoring. That's for sure. You got to have wonderful wedges. That's the first thing. And, you know, when I dug into this, it's not just long iron play and mid iron play. It's really close, right? A lot of these holes are very, very short. These golf courses are par 72, right around 7,000 yards. So look for those guys that are really good with their wedges from 75 to 125 yards. The second thing is the POA putting. Yes, we're off of Bermuda grass out there in Hawaii, we're on POA, and 7 of the last 10 winners have gained over 3 strokes on the field with their putter. Last thing I'll say is it's just a birdie barrage. 2024, guys, check this out. There were 81 eagles in the tournament and 2,865 birdies. So if you're not packing, if you're not ready to go nuclear with the putter this week, then you know what, guys? Then just go head to Torrey right now for next week.
DRS, I don't know if you know this, but La Quinta, California, the home of a certain Durkin family. So I can get live reports on the ground out there in the desert for the American Express. Keith, back to those outright odds. A couple of familiar names at the top of the odds board. Sung J. M., Justin Thomas, co-favorite, Sam Burns, Patrick Cantlay, Tony Finau, round out the top five. Which golfers are you keeping an eye on out this week in Southern California?
At the top of the board, I think the list starts with Sung J.M. He's had 6 straight top 25s there. And when he played in the Century a couple weeks ago, I mean, the guy was 20-something under par. He was shot 127 on the weekend. He's been very, very hot, and he can go deep, and you got to go deep here. JT, I worry about the putter. When it comes to Sam Burns, he's just been contending lately. And Patrick Cantlay, he was 52nd here last year. I'm not sure these guys are really worth it at the top of the board. And it goes back to the skill set. When I go for my early leans on the early line, I'm going further down the board. I love a guy like Harry Hall. Harry Hall he's number one in scoring, 8th at the Century, 10th at the Sony, right? He can go deep. And then the second guy, Nico Echevarria. Oh, guys, 6,000, right? 60-1. Oh, yeah. His last 6, a win, a 6th, a 29th, a 2nd, a 32nd, and a 2nd. The guy's hot, great on approach, great with the putter. Those are my early leads.
I guess Donnie will have to ask that LIV question.
We got plenty of time.
Thank you very much. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue our early previews and breakdowns for divisional round weekend, the second stage of the NFL postseason, by asking those big picture questions that you need for each and every matchup. We already hit on the first two games in the AFC. The marquee matchup to end out the weekend in Buffalo, the Bills and the Ravens. The first game of four in a familiar setting, both for the Texans, time-wise, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time on a Saturday afternoon, and for the Chiefs inside Arrowhead Stadium. Now let's head over to the other conference in the NFC. Our first of two games on Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern time kick at the Link in Philadelphia. The Eagles and the Rams. DRS in the projected matchup of what this spread would be before Monday night's game, it was 6.5 in favor of Philadelphia if they did see L.A. The Rams looked dominant and impressive in their victory over the Vikings. The Eagles were dominant defensively, but not overly impressive on the offensive side of the football. Line opened up just yesterday morning at 5.5, and now it's back closer to a touchdown in favor of the Birds, a 6.5-point spread. The total 44 in a hook for two great defensive displays in the first round of the postseason, but it was 43.5 just yesterday, which leads to our first big question. Can the Eagles win this game, Donnie, in a shootout in an offensive affair?
They can, but I don't think it's going to be that way. I really don't. Understand this. Look at the Rams. Like, outside of the game where they bench all their starters, I mean, they're like a single-digit team on defense, really turning the corner, which is great. And the Eagles have the number one overall defense in the NFL. Now coupling colder temperatures in the mid-30s for a dome team going outdoors with some precipitation in the forecast, which could be in the way of snow. So keep an eye on that throughout the week on some of these updates that come through. Now, the Eagles are favored by 6.5. I agree with that. That total opened up at 45.5, has dipped down a little bit lower. Actually had a little bit of a bounce back after hitting those 43.5 numbers. Now back up to 44.5. I think the game has a tendency to stay under more than it does go over. Now understand this. You know, to the victor go the spoils. The higher seeded teams usually get treated just a little bit better. You're seeing Detroit coming off of a bye, taking on Washington, had to play last week, and now you're saying you're getting them on a short week because they're playing on a Saturday. Well, the NFL, the same thing. It's always about money. We understand that even if it comes at the, you know, strain of competition. When did the Los Angeles Rams play last week? They played Monday night and they were on the road when they should have been home. So not only did they win that game on a Monday, they got to fly back home. Then they got to fly to the East Coast and play on a Sunday when the Eagles are waiting for them with a day more rest than they have. So advantage Philadelphia Eagles in that mindset. I think we get a good game where the Eagles end up winning. But you know what I'm liking? Weapons on both sides. You see that number in the low 40s. And most people are like, you know what? Let's go to the over. I'm telling you right now, I'm feeling an under in this game because the way the Eagles played offense last week against a very good Packers defense, somewhat tame, you're getting a pretty good hot defense here for the Rams that are coming across country. And I would say this, there's no style points needed, Ben. Just win and advance here. I'm leaning more towards the under this week than the actual side in this game.
Yeah, DRS, I think it's a really good point, and you kind of answered big picture question number two.
Yeah.
It was a very weird and challenging and strange logistical week for the Rams to even get ready for the opening round because of the devastating and tragic wildfires in Los Angeles that brought them to Glendale, Arizona for a home playoff game against the Vikings. LA tried to make it feel as much of a home away from home as possible, flying out pets and families and everybody to Arizona a few days earlier to have that comfortability. But Donnie, as you said, it's not just the home field advantage in the actual 3 hours of a game inside the stadium. It's sleeping in your bed. It's driving to work. Mm-hmm. It's knowing exactly everything as a matter of fact in your daily schedule and routine. The Rams still have to deal with that on a short week, which was always going to be the case, even if the game was played inside SoFi Stadium, and still with some challenges going on back home. Friends, family, loved ones, as the wildfires continue to rage on. Now, they are in better containment and not nearly as devastating as this was exactly a week ago, but still trying times in Los Angeles. So that big picture question, Donnie, was going to be how much of an impact does the short week, the travel have on the LA Rams in this matchup? I would assume you say a fair bit.
Yes, and it does. And also, let's go vice versa. We're only paying attention to the Rams at this point, who should have had a home game and saying, we're rested here. We don't have to fly before we go to the East Coast. Look at the Philadelphia Eagles. Two regular seasons to end the season at home at Lincoln Financial Field. Playoff game last week. at Lincoln Financial Field. The Eagles have been home for a month here, not have to go anywhere. Same routine, same practice facility, no travel here. Yeah. That adds up at the end of the season, and you'll probably see that play out on Sunday. And also, the Eagles are a better team than the Rams. They played early this season. The Eagles absolutely thrashed them on the road. Are we anticipating the same type of outcome? Not necessarily, but entering into the game, you're not having second thoughts about, ooh, man, they got us the first time. I hope we're better this time. No, the Eagles were in a power position from their last game. But as I said this again, this looks like a different Rams defense here at this point, getting really good pass rush out of their young defensive line here, playing quality defense on the back end. They're not having these fluke games. And as I said, if you just go back and look at the tail and the final scores of those games, this is a team that's playing great defense, limiting teams to under double digits. That has to account for something, and that's why I'm leaning towards the under. You have a defense that's playing hot at the end of the season and a defense that's been the best all season long in the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's see what these two offensive coordinators come up with this weekend to combat those defenses.
Yeah, no doubt about it, DRS. And the Rams are going to have more offensively than they did even against the Vikings. They did not need much. They scored on their first two possessions. They got a defensive touchdown later in the opening half. That was all she wrote in the opening round matchup against the Vikes. Same story for the Eagles. They forced the kickoff on the opening kickoff return. Three plays later, Jalen Hurts has all day, connects with Jahan Dotson in the back of the end zone. That was all Philadelphia really needed. The Eagles held the Packers to 10 points. The Rams held the Vikings to 9 points. The Rams played in at what was the time, Donnie, the highest scoring game of the season back in week 14 at home against the Bills. Won that game by two outright as a short underdog, 44-42. In the next four games where the Rams have had their starters in there, their last three of the regular season, before that week 18 matchup against the Seahawks when their backups were in the playoff game against the Vikings, the Rams have allowed fewer points, 33 total, than in that one game against Buffalo, 42. 9-9-6-9 in those last four games for LA. Yeah. It is a very different defense than the Eagles saw the first time way back in, where was it? I believe the middle of November or late November in that Sunday night game out in Los Angeles, where the Eagles were just a short field goal favorite, perhaps 2.5 points on the road inside SoFi, and put up 37 points behind a career night for Saquon Barkley. His career high, 255 yards on the ground, two rushing touchdowns. Donnie, each of those rushing scores for Saquon were at least 70 yards. He absolutely blitzed that young Rams defense, but really from that juncture of the season and even later on, it has been ever improving week over week here for the last month.
And it has, and also Saquon had a long screen pass that almost scored a touchdown that game. So he was absolutely wonderful. They're going to need him to do that again, which is why they rested him up in Week 18. But if we are being honest about this game, the Philadelphia Eagles are the higher seed, the better football team. They should win. Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't play out that way. We understand it. And also, Sean McVay, he's got a Super Bowl championship. Matthew Stafford has a Super Bowl championship. They then end the season winning the division, playing good football, winning a playoff game against what we thought was, forget about the final score. The Vikings were a good football. That's a 14-3 team that they beat the heck out of in a neutral site environment, which they should have had more problems than the Vikings had, just based on the fact that they had to leave their homes and flee their homes and bring their family with a lot more on their mind than a football game itself. So say what you want, but sooner than later, it usually catches up to you. They are behind the eight ball this week against a better team. That's going to be some tough uphill sledding here this week.
And they played inspired football out in the desert to win one for the hometown team, and that was what exactly they did for Los Angeles. By the way, Saquon Barkley's rushing yards prop for that Sunday afternoon at the link, 111.5. We expect a lot of Saquon Barkley in what might be a cold and chilly day come Sunday afternoon. I will just say, DRS, it is always interesting, right? As we were talking about the Chiefs game, I said I expect KC to win comfortably, not sure they cover 8.5. How could I say that? Well, the Chiefs might not really be tested, but still win the game by a touchdown. Maybe just not the 10 points necessary. I think the Eagles win this game and maybe even cover, but I think it's a single-score game really throughout its duration, if that makes sense. Saturday night in Detroit, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One big question for all four of our division round matchups in the second weekend of the NFL postseason. And Donnie, We end with Saturday night in the Motor City. The one seed for the first time in franchise history, that is the Detroit Lions. At this time last season, when the Lions got ready to host their first playoff game in the Motor City, Detroit had just won its first divisional championship in the National Football League in 3 decades, thus hosting its first NFL playoff game in 30 years, hoping for its first postseason victory in 32 seasons. The Lions did exactly that. Now Detroit is hoping for even more history in the 2024 NFL campaign, now in the calendar year of 2025, as a 9.5-point favorite against the Washington Commanders in the divisional round. With the highest total we will have this weekend and maybe for the entirety of the NFL postseason at 55.5. The Lions DRS are 2 wins away from going to a point no other Lions team has, a Super Bowl. Detroit has won NFL championships way back in the late 1950s, before the merger, before the Super Bowl era that began in 1967. Detroit has never won a Lombardi Trophy, yet never even played in a Super Bowl. The Lions are close to doing just that, and expected, Donnie, to be only 1 win away in an NFC championship game in the Motor City exactly 1 weekend from now, as they are the largest favorites of the division around, laying 9.5 points. And that is the one big question. Are the Lions laying too many points on divisional weekend?
I don't know. I'm going to say right now, I don't think so. But also understand this, like if we could just like get into a time capsule, Ben, and go to another week, which would be next weekend, and take a look at the capabilities of what the AFC and NFC championship games might be, like the Eagles and the Lions, and let's just say Kansas City and or Buffalo and Baltimore. My goodness, we're going to have a sensation again. Now, we'll wait for that. These games are going to be fantastic. But if you are looking, I say this. Some people out there, if you're looking at, you know what, you drive down the field, you just pick up points in a game, that this isn't your game because they're not kicking field goals, neither team. They're both sensational fourth down and ultra aggressive on both sides. You just saw that on Sunday Night Football. I believe, what did Washington not, they went for it on 2 fourth down plays and didn't even get it and still ended up winning that football game because, touchdowns matter. And that's going to be one of the keys because you look at the 55.5, it's crazy high it is. But if I'm going to tell you that we're not getting 3 points, like 4th and 2 at the 8-yard line going in, hey, it's a playoff game. We're young. We're on the road. Washington's going for it just the same way they did against Tampa Bay early in that game when they could have just gotten points to even that one up. So that adds into the 55.5 where you're trading 3 points for 7, which is a 4-point difference. Now, granted, if you continually stop them, it's great for the under. But when teams are aggressive with weapons, that usually helps you out. Understand this, too. These two teams here, both been in the top 10 of possession time in a football game. Mm. We've just saw it multiple weeks now for Washington. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 play drives. Baker Mayfield threw what? 18 passes in that game? Not because they were doing a ground and pound. He threw 18 times because they never had the football, it felt like. That's the key to try to holding Detroit off the field. And when you had a quarterback as talented as Jaden Daniels, not even talking about his passing game, Ben, but his running game, every 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4 turns into a first down or he gets close enough for you to go for it on 4th down. That's the electricity that he provides. So I do think we have long extended drives. And the other thing too, looking at Jaden Daniels in this game, I believe it's his outside of the Dallas game where he played only less than a half at that point. Multiple touchdown passes are his thing. And if you're looking at not kicking field goals, Ben, in this game, and you have to score touchdowns, it's going to be on his arm. And if we're figuring that they're going to lose this football game, I mean, they're close to double digits here. They're going to be throwing the entire way. So early in the week and maybe even on Moneyline today, we might be locking in a Jaden Daniels over 1.5 touchdown pass look at plus money on the FanDuel Sportsbook because we're not kicking field goals. We're only scoring touchdowns.
I do not believe the Lions are laying too many points. I believe the line is justified to back Detroit is now near a double-digit home favorite against Washington. The Commanders are a very stout and solid team. I don't think they win this game outright. Now, could they cover and stay within margin? Of course. This game could be decided by a touchdown. The Lions win comfortably, and yet we still have a Washington cover. But DRS, I think what you mentioned there about fourth downs is going to be critical in this game. Not only do we have two teams that convert a lot of the fourth downs, Washington, an NFL record, 82.4% this year, and the Lions at 67% nearly, but we have two head coaches in Dan Quinn and Dan Campbell that will often look to go for it on fourth down situations. We have seen it for the Lions always. It's a very similar mentality for this Commanders club as well. 3 of 5 last week in Tampa on Sunday night. They did not punt. Donnie, the first team to punt in this game might be even more behind the eight ball outside of just the idea to exchange possession and exchange hands of that football. I think this game is going to be sensational. I do believe it is high scoring. I do want to ask you about the total, 55 and a hook. That Sunday night football finale, game 272 between the Lions and the Vikings, featured a closing total of 56.5. It was nearly our highest in 5 seasons in the National Football League. This is 55 and a hook. We saw the final 5 games of Wild Card Weekend all go well under. Our highest scoring game of Wild Card Weekend was the only over in Houston, and it was just 44 combined points. Are we going to flirt with 55, 56, 57 points come Saturday night at Ford Field?
I think it stays under because you need, as we like to say in the business, a clean ride to get close to 60 points in a playoff game. And understand this as well. You get David Montgomery back. And let's just say we are slightly higher scoring game. And the fourth quarter is there with 7 minutes to go. Detroit has the football. And let's just say we have 45 total points in the game. You know what they're going to do? Salt that clock away. And they can do it behind that big offensive line and those two running backs here. You will need an explosive start to hit that number. But also, we're saying to ourselves, a rookie quarterback on the road once again, who's ran a lot and taken a ton of hits, Ben, over the past month just to get his team to the playoffs, needs to do it one more time and gets a team that's rested and ready with the focal point on that team for over a week where Washington was just trying to play itself in to the next round. There is a major advantage for Detroit coming off the bye week. They're a better overall football team, and we are expecting a ton of weight to be put on Jaden Daniels. He is going to have to be all world just to keep this game close. We'll see if he can line up with that.
It should be sensational on Saturday night. We will discuss even further tomorrow when Donnie and I are back on a Thursday on the early line. We send him now to the money line. We'll wrap up the day with some college basketball and NBA handicap stats.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
An elite Wednesday night of basketball action all around the country, both in college hoops and, of course, around the association. Quickly in the NBA, 11-game NBA slate on this Wednesday night. Some of the biggest, the Lakers back at home, 5.5-point favorite against the Miami Heat. Can the Warriors turn things around on the road in the Twin Cities against the T-Wolves? Really big game in the Western Conference standings. The Nuggets on the second leg of a back-to-back, but in a different venue, host the second-best team in the Western Conference right now, the Houston Rockets, as an ever-so-slight favorite. And in Philadelphia, will the 76ers please stand up? 8 games below 500, 15-23, catching 6 points at home in the Wells Fargo Center against the New York Knicks. Is Joel Embiid going to play after everybody sat out last night in another dismal defeat against the Oklahoma City Thunder? At least Tyrese Maxey and Paul George expected to give it a go. Tuesday night in college basketball, fantastic. Wednesday night, maybe just as good. How about this game? A historic matchup and a top 10 tilt inside Hilton Coliseum in Ames, Iowa, where the second-ranked Iowa State Cyclones host number 9 Kansas. Iowa State, a 5.5-point favorite. But that number, in my estimation, not nearly as important as the number before Iowa State. That's number 2. It is the highest ever ranking in Cyclones men's basketball program history. The number 2 team in the nation. That's what TJ Otzelberger has done in year number 4 in Ames. This team is absolutely stacked wherever you look at them. Taman Lipsey, the Ames kid, leading this Iowa State program. A great backup guard, a sixth man, if you will, in Curtis Jones. Keyshawn Gilbert, the list goes on and on for Iowa State. They are stout, they are stacked, and they are playing in a place known for magic inside Hilton Coliseum. In the 4 years now under TJ Otzelberger, since the beginning of 2021, Iowa State as a home favorite straight up, 50-6. 32-24 against the spread. Kansas does not often get points in Big 12 battles. The Jayhawks lost their Big 10 opener against West Virginia as a double-digit favorite outright. They've won three straight. They have covered in all three. Kansas has played 15 games this year. Bill Self's Jayhawks are 12-3 straight up. They have gone under in 14 of 15 games, including 13 in a row. There are 364 Division I men's basketball programs playing this year in college hoops. Two of them have played only one game to the over, and that is Kansas and Wagner. So, yeah, the Jayhawks are trying to keep this game under, and Iowa State, stout defensively, hard-nosed on that side of the floor, but their offense has been a reason for success this year. Total stands around 144 and a hook for tonight inside Hilton Coliseum. Speaking of history, how about Georgia men's basketball? Ranked in January, you would normally think Georgia football in a continuous chase for a national championship. This is the first time the Bulldogs as a men's basketball program have been ranked in a season since 2011. UGA checks in at number 23 in a top 25 tilt on a Rocky Top against Tennessee. The Vols were the number one team in the country last week. They fall to number six after they got beat bad by 30 against the Gators exactly a week ago, but expected to bounce back. The Vols a double-digit favorite. Mike White has done some great things early in his time in Athens, hoping to carry that over tonight. Houston a hefty favorite against West Virginia. Michigan State, fourth-best free-throw shooting team in the country, known for its depth. Double-digit favorite tonight against Penn State. The Spartans and the Wolverines, the only two undefeated teams left in Big Ten play. But Purdue, not all that far behind on the road in Seattle against the Huskies. Big one in the Mountain West, Utah State and UNLV. The Aggies, a 4.5-point road favorite. Let's update those national championship odds here in mid-January. Again, conference play in full swing everywhere around the country. Duke, despite not being the number one team in the country, the national title favorites at 5-1. Auburn is number one in the nation, and even without Jahni Broome, beat Mississippi State last night at home in a top 15 tilt by 22. Jahni Broome will be back. The Tigers, I think, are incorrectly priced. Iowa State, they're at a 9-1 number. I've got the Clones to get to their first Final Four since 1944, when the tournament only had eight teams. Those are the three teams in three digits. The early line returns tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern time, here on Sportsgrid.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.